Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together, work together as one united people, one nation under God. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight we're going to be discussing something that's really depressing and upsetting to, I think, all of us American patriots. It's the fall of the USA. I've come to a very basic calculation. Illegal immigration plus amnesty plus 9/11, it all equals the fall of the USA. And we'll get into that in more detail and why I'm saying that, and the frustration and the disappointment and how it saddens me. But at some point, we have to realize what we're really dealing with here. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. The interesting stuff that's going on out there, I don't know how many of you have seen the terrorist mother, the mother of the terrorists who were killing everybody with their explosions, explosives over in Boston last week. But it was kind of interesting watching the various video shots of this lady. Why she sat there, why would I ever come to America? I thought America was going to protect us. I thought it was okay for my sons to kill people, but what, you were going to protect us. We could kill you, but you can't kill us. Yeah, it was just, you know, of course those weren't her exact words, but yeah, her rhetoric was amazing. And I personally thought it was, the more I was watching her, the reruns of this thing, she was trying to incite those on her side. I mean, and the nerve to go and act like we killed, the American people just went out and killed her sons. The law enforcement of the United States just went out and killed her son and shot the other one just for the fun of it. It's like the fact that they killed people had nothing, that wasn't a concern to her. She didn't care about that. And this is the Muslim faith. This is the Muslim mentality. This is what these people believe. It's okay to kill us. We're the infidels. That's what they're supposed to do. You know, Christians are not allowed. You got to kill all the Christians. And she's there saying, oh, why would I ever come to, why did I ever go to America? And I think it was Glenn Beck who said, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And, of course, now she can't come back because she would be arrested for other stuff she was engaged in with all this stuff. And now, of course, they're also trying to blame some of this, the son's behaviors on the mother and all this other crazy stuff. So that was that. Then the other, which definitely plays into what I'm going to be talking about. And, okay, I do see a caller wanting to speak. I'll be with you in just a moment. I think I know who that is, but I'll double check. The other thing is, you know, all this discussion about illegal immigration, which will be a major part of our discussion tonight, it's so interesting when Holder is so concerned about the rule of law when it comes to protecting the terrorist rights, which I do believe we should follow the Constitution. So just for the record, I believe we should do as the Constitution says. I'm sad that these people became American citizens, were allowed to become American citizens, but that's a whole other story. But as American citizens, they do have certain rights. So with that being said, you know, Holder's acting like he's so holier than thou, wanting to follow the rule of law. But the rule of law means nothing when it comes to illegal immigrant, illegal entry into this country. The illegal immigrants, they can do anything they want. They can kill anything they want. They can rape anybody they want. That's all okay. The rule of law doesn't apply to illegals in this country. And when we go into some of the discussion about what this craziness of the immigration bill is, everybody should realize what Rubio is after this mess. Anybody who thinks Rubio has any loyalty to this country or to the American people has got to be nutso. That's all I can say on that one. So anyway, and we're going to get into that discussion in detail. And the I sent out an email earlier to people inviting them to call in and to talk about this subject tonight. And I'll go ahead and kind of read the piece I was putting in there to join the discussion. Please convince me, because I truly believe in so many ways that we have already fallen. The United States of America, are we truly still here? Are we all just fooling ourselves? Or are we all in denial? So I ask people to join the discussion tonight and to call in and convince me that the USA, the Declaration of the United, Declaration of Independence of the United States of America still means something, still is still standing and still means something. Convince me that the Constitution of the United States is still standing and means something. Convince me that the rule of law still is still standing and means something. Convince me that our elections are actually, that we get honest representation and the representation of our choice, because I don't think we do. Please convince me that the legal American is still an individual and has not been totally converted to a bunch of serfs and slaves. Please convince me that the USA has not been invaded by massive anti-American illegal Hispanics, Muslims, Asians, and legal ones too. We have literally opened the door and invited in the criminal, or I don't say criminal, the evil element that doesn't like us. Okay, terrorists, come on in. We're going to give you all these student visas so you can come in, scatter about the countryside, and destroy us. Let's invite the enemy in to destroy us. And I swear, I think that's what we've done. And then please convince me that our media is not part of the PR department of law, of governmental offices, public office. Today's media, I don't think they report the news to us. I don't think they serve the interest of the common good. They're out there telling whatever they're told to tell from powers that be. Totally opposite of what they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be the watchdog. Now they are part of the rhetoric, that is the brainwashing mechanism to what they spew to the public. And then, and please convince me that Americans did not surrender to the Islamist takeover of 9/11. And when you think about the various things that have happened, 9/11 and some other things, you just add it up together, and is the United States of America really, really, truly still a sovereign country? Please convince me that the USA is still a sovereign country. Please convince me that we, the people, are still the government of this of the United States of America. Because when I look around, I just don't see it. I see so many ways we don't taken into account what they're trying to do with our gun laws and everything else, and I just have a hard time believing that we are truly a sovereign country. We have no borders, no security, no homeland security. I mean, you can't call Janet Napolitano homeland security by any means. You can't call Obama. I mean, these people are so full of treason and what they've done to us. They have literally the treasonous actions to destroy this country. And then at some point we may talk about the Bushes, starting with Prescott, who was out there funding Hitler. And look how the GOP totally supported the Bush family over the years. And Jeb Bush is now part of Common Core, wanting to indoctrinate the children of this country. It's also disgusting. But on that note, let me go ahead and get this caller involved. Excuse me. The last four numbers are 4056, and I think I know who this is. Can I get your name, please?
Hello, Sally. It's Arnie Rosner.
I was going to say, I think your initials are AR, but then I said, I'll just let him say his name. Hey, how you doing, Arnie?
Hey, terrific. Good to hear you.
Thank you. Well, what are you thinking about all this? So you saw my email that I said about the Constitution has been shredded by these people, and that was my very first comment as I went through and what's on my show page. My comment was, the Constitution of the United States has been shredded by those sworn to uphold it, and this happened all while the American people sat on the sidelines trusting these people. Too many Americans have trusted the political scumbags, as I call them. But what do you think about the Constitution?
Well, first of all, Sal, let me just offer one comment that I think is extremely powerful, and it is, we give people the power to push our button. Now, I don't know what that means to other people, but, for instance, your comment about the Constitution being shredded, well, that pushes my button. And so that caused me to step up to the plate and say, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. In the first place, the Constitution's still there. Our founding documents are still there. What's happened, though, and, you know, you asked to be convinced, it's not really my job to convince you or anybody else. It's up to each of us, as Americans, to do what we're supposed to do with respect to living in our republic. And a republic is up to the people. to determine everything. For instance, it's up to the people what the Constitution does and says, because we created it. And of course, before the Constitution, we have to remember that our Creator endowed us with certain unalienable rights, or unalienable rights, whichever way you prefer to say it, which means that no person, no man, no government, nothing can take them away, and they're not empowered to give them to us either. So, you know, when you look at it that way, all of the questions you raised must be answered by each one of us individually. Now, frankly, I don't have any respect or give any recognition to the current government in Washington, D.C. They're not our government. Just look at the way they behave. They have violated their oaths of office. They have violated their fiduciary responsibilities. And for over, 4 years, I've been trying to find out how I can arrest my elected official, because he's violating the rules and the laws for which I elected him to carry out. And so this is what's led me down this path to where we are today. I believe we have found what may be resolution, and that's what I dropped you a note about. And it's a pretty simple process. We as taxpayers put money into the federal government to pay for services and protections. Now, part of that's the judiciary, and part of that is Congress and the administration. Now, they all take oaths to perform the business of the people and to perform it in a proper manner, like any other business with responsibilities. And in effect, the public trust is managed by them as trustees, and we, the people, are the beneficiaries of this trust. Well, clearly in that kind of a relationship, the trustees work for the beneficiaries. So there are employees. You've heard this, but, you know, the reason these elected officials don't respond properly is because, in my opinion, they have sworn their allegiance to the British bankers. And that's why everything you look at what they do is in favor of New World Order, the British bankers, the British Crown. And I know some people may be saying to themselves, oh, that's that conspiracy stuff. Well, it's not the conspiracy. They have duped us, and almost from the beginning, 1865. I think I can safely say that nobody is alive today that would have been around then to have seen what they did. And this is what people must recognize, is this government is filled with people who are impersonating lawful officers of our government. They are not representing Americans. They are representing foreign interests. And that explains to me why we're in the trouble we're in.
Well, I would totally agree that they do not represent us. That's the problem. And there's been so many pieces, including the Federal Reserve and these different things that have evolved over time. But the thing, when I talk about the sovereignty right now, when I question, and, you know, obviously I know the Constitution hasn't been literally shredded, per se, but the fact of the matter is they violate so much of this Constitution, and even, you know, we have this judicial process, which, by the way, what does BAR stand for? B-A-R, and people, members of the BAR, it's all to do with Britain, too. And when you and I, when we the people who are truly the owners, the government, they work for us, we are the employers. We, because the system has been so corrupted and so, whatever you want to call it, destroyed to me, when you and I seek justice, we can't get it because the system has been so corrupted in so many ways. When
sure.
we go to the ballot box, we don't get to truly vote for who we want. It's been corrupted. So
we never have. That's the funny thing. This is an illusion. Everything that the government's involved in is an illusion. They, all of this business with the debt and the ceiling, and we have Boehner fighting Obama, and we have this character fighting that character. You know, if anybody was to look at the work of G.W. Griffin, or G. Edward Griffin, I guess it is, on collectivism, or the Quigley affair, or I guess it's the Quigley formula, on YouTube, it's about an hour, a little over hour presentation. He explains it so beautifully, and his references are books that were written by Carol Quigley, and I happen to have purchased them, so I have verified everything that Griffin has said. And it's all there, and, you know, it just makes, it fills in all the blanks. This is a conspiracy against the people of not just America. You go look at what's happening in Europe, in Australia, you'll see the exact same strategies being imposed on the people. Right. And, of course, in Europe and Australia, they already gave up their guns. So they're in serious trouble. And this is why there's such a strong push now to disarm America, because we're holding up the New World Order.
Yeah.
Take it over completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to the point where the government is manufacturing these incidents. Even the Boston Marathon, it looks like, at least part of it was put on by the government. We have seen it at Sandy Hook. It's a terrible thing to think and to say. But we can see where actors were used. And, in fact, there's even government legislation permitting the government to generate propaganda and use it as news in order to persuade people to go along with their agenda, which is, you know, put us all under the bankers.
Yeah. The thing with Boston, I tell you, and I mean, I remember talking about this early on. Some people who aren't as politically inclined to discuss these issues, but trying to just put it out there, said, you know, you got to really be suspicious of this lockdown they did. I said, you know, from a national strength side. That's why it was actually, there's two sides of it. They were testing to see how obedient the American people would be. If they can go, you know, martial law, police state, look how well the sheeple ran and hid in their houses like they were told. And the other aspect of it, if they weren't trying to test that, just for the sake of saying they truly believe something was wrong, then I'm saying, what does it say about the United States of America if two terrorists, now one because the one got killed, one terrorist can lock down a major city like Boston? What, you mean to tell me one terrorist is going to take over a major city? They only need to sprinkle a few of them across the whole countryside, and the whole country's going to be shut down. But that's not the point. It's the martial law. It's the police state. I mean, my own personal belief was they were trying to find out, have we trained the American sheeple the right way? And now here we've got Massachusetts where no guns and all this other crap that they deal with. And Massachusetts was one of the founding states. You would think they would be the strongest one in believing in freedom, but obviously they're one of the least, one of the weakest. But that's what this was all about. Yes, we have done an excellent job in training the American sheeple. When we tell them to go in their doghouse and lay and be quiet, that's what they do. And, of course, when it came down to when they finally let the American people out of their houses, when they finally said, yes, you're allowed to move about, that's when we found the terrorists, because it was right in the backyard of the one guy, which, of course, I said, if they really wanted to find the terrorists, they would tell people to resume their own business and be on the lookout. And, you know, tell the parents, you know, keep your younger kids inside. It's okay if the kids don't go to school today because we've got this going on and we don't want kids to get in the way, whatever. Even though, I mean, obviously the kids wouldn't have been those terrorists in every place in the city. And probably, who knows, if they had the physical ability, they wouldn't have been in Boston anyway. But so if they wanted to be a little bit cautious about it, say, well, let the kids stay inside and keep the kids out of the way. But you know what? If they would have let the American people out of there, the terrorists would have been taken care of a long time ago. But that wasn't the point. Now, the point was, as you said, was it martial law? Have we trained the American sheeple correctly? And we have.
Well, they've been testing us. You know, when somebody looks at the broad picture across the whole country, and again, you have to expand it even to across the globe because you'll see the same characterizations. They had a business where they had a SWAT team go into the business because they wanted some paperwork. And the people were more than willing to give them the paperwork. They didn't need a SWAT team to go in and shut down this water plant, you know, a drinking water bottling plant.
Right.
I mean, that was just an example. Then they're getting away with the pig farmers. That's another example. And then they take perfectly good food and pour bleach on it to impose their will over the people. All of this, in my view, is testing the mettle of the people involved. What will they tolerate? And if they tolerate it, then they'll push further.
And
now,
that goes to the other point. I'm going to kind of jump down my list here. Where I put the other part is, let's see, where did I have it here? Okay. America has been... Okay, I was talking about core values. Okay. Core values in America no longer exist. And that's, again, a little bit of, some of these are kind of strong statements, but then I try to explain more what I'm meaning by it. While the majority of Americans have moral values, most Americans today are too timid, too weak, and too afraid to defend the United States of America. Those Americans who went running and hiding in those houses, that proves to you that do we have enough Americans who will stand up and defend this country today? I don't know that we do. There again, the invasion of the illegal immigration, the legal immigration, the legal Saudis that get brought in here, all the students and the Muslims, the whole process, we've been sitting here while the government, the so-called government of ours, which isn't really ours, it doesn't represent us, has gone out of its way to have a silent invasion. They have been plotting to take down this country, bringing in the illegals, bringing in the Muslims, bringing in the Saudis, et cetera, et cetera, and training the American people to be sheeple, and now they're trying to take our guns away. You add the whole piece up, and it's all massive, massive destruction, and that's why I'm saying, have we not already fallen? Because so many American people are willing to take off running. Of course, we also know the American Revolution. It was a small minority who started the war, and then the others came. It was not a massive majority who took over at one point, massive point. It was truly a small, that's when they talk about the critical mass stuff. And it takes critical mass to make a difference.
Well, consider this, Sally. How many people would think to go to their mayor and say, Mr. Mayor, what's your arrangement with the Department of Homeland Security? Because, let's face it, the mayor controls the city police if you live in a city. If you're in a county, unincorporated area or so, then it would be the county sheriff. But, you know, how many people, public citizens who live in the city, will go to their city council meeting and want to know what is the arrangement that their city police have with the Department of Homeland Security? And how about if the people just demanded that the local police department sever all relationships with the Department of Homeland Security, government, the whole thing, send back all of this militarized equipment, and send back all the grants, and tell them no thank you. Now that's our city. We have to start with our cities and our counties.
But I'm in total agreement, and I tell you, everybody knows, anybody who knows me here in Central Florida, I don't technically live in the city limits. I live in the county, and we have a county mayor and a city mayor, and then we have a county sheriff. There's not one of them I would trust to do anything. They are all evil. I voted against any one of them that's in there. I didn't vote for any of these people, and they really don't care. Here, I'll give you an example of something that happened here in Florida to show you how, and I call them scumbags because I don't know what else to call these people. I don't know anything.
Probably being generous.
I think I am being generous because the other names I have aren't nearly that nice. We had a situation last year during the election where a group of local citizens got 50,000 petitions signed to put an initiative on the ballot, a referendum. I personally did not agree with what the referendum was. It was about making smaller companies pay sick time and stuff like that. So I would have voted against it, so it has nothing to do with my belief in what they wanted to do. But these people went through the process. They went and got the petition signed and all this other stuff. And here at the Orange County Commission was Orange County Mayor Teresa Jacobs, Commissioner Jennifer Thompson, and then another commissioner, Scott Boyd. The three of these commissioners, while they were having a so-called public hearing on this issue, were all texting the special interest, the Chamber of Commerce, their legal people, texting them during this meeting, asking them for ways to get out of putting this on the ballot because they were trying to block it. How could they block it? Excuse me. Totally illegal, totally violated the Sunshine Laws, and then the mayor deleted the text messages off of her phone. And she said she didn't know that was illegal either. She's been in public office plenty of years. She knew what she did was illegal. They didn't care. And you know what? All three of them are still sitting on that board. And now these people, let me finish a little bit more here, but these individuals took them to court and said what they did was wrong. They had a right to put it on the ballot. The court ruled in favor of the people with a petition. Then somehow they've managed to get the Tallahassee to do something to keep them from putting this on the referendum again. This is the evilness of what this government has become. So even when you try to fight the government the way you're supposed to as an honest citizen, the system is so rigged against the American people. And this is why I say I think we've already fallen. If the American people do not rise up at L levels here and do something, we're already gone. And right now, I just don't – people are more engaged today than they have been. But are they pissed off enough to make a difference? I don't know.
Well, do they know what to do?
Well, these people I think did. I mean, the fact that they went out there and got the 50,000 petitions, the fact that they went to court afterwards and they got the thing proven, that they had the right, and they just keep over and over again the judicial system, the rule of law, et cetera, it's not working anymore.
Well, Sally, let me introduce this thought. What has happened here is we've been invaded. I think you're 100% correct. We are at war, but our enemies do not wear different uniforms.
Right.
You can't even identify who they are, only by their actions.
Yep.
So they have infiltrated our system of administration deliberately and effectively. They are almost totally in control of it, if not totally in control, as you so well point out. Now, the only thing that keeps this government operating is the fear that the police or the military would bring in terms of against the citizens. But if we recognize that we are at war and we have been infiltrated and they're trying to take us over, not by shooting at us, but by beating us to death with paperwork. They, for instance, if you look at the job that the legislatures do, it became apparent to me that they want to pass all kinds of laws to restrict people to the extent that any code enforcement officer could find some reason to fine you or put you in jail. Now, all of this is illegal. The code, the people, the governments were formed for the people, by the people. The people are the sovereign citizens. You'll see that even Department of Homeland Security is trying to destroy the value of that term sovereign. But that's what we are as people of America, not the national government, because the point I'm really trying to get to is our government has been taken over, even the state, the term de facto. I don't know if anybody knows what that means, but it means they're in place and they're acting the role because they can. It's like Obama. He's not the president of the American people. He's a president of a corporation which is Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is a sovereign nation within the United States. It's just like the Vatican. It's just like there's a portion of London, England, called the British Crown. This is not the royal crown. This is the financial interest, just like Wall Street. But in Great Britain, the crown is a sovereign nation. The people in the crown live there, and they're under their own jurisdiction, not under Great Britain. These are the people that control the world. Hang on a minute.
Well, that was interesting. Okay, while we're waiting for Arnie to come back, I'm going to go ahead and read some of these others. Okay, the first thing I put on there was about the in every philosophical sense, yes. Mm-hmm.
We have a stroke of genius. Randy Du, who is a student of Mr. Van
Dyke.
Hartford Van Dyke. The note that I sent you about this system that we believe gives us remedy, well, Randy is the one that's actually running this process, developing it, and he's going to be on talk show on Wednesday and be able to explain the whole thing. There's a form that permits people to fill in and file their own charges. And the whole process is really quite simple. it's like, you know, as taxpayers, we're paying for the government services, like the judiciary, at paying for the military, the whole thing. So, as long as everything goes along well, the Congress, their salaries, the administration, we're getting our money's worth. But in cases where our elected representatives fail to represent us properly and violate their oaths or violate the fiduciary responsibilities, then we are being cheated. They are failing to deliver the services for which we have paid in advance through tax dollars. So Hartford and Randy has added further refinements. When you as a citizen have been injured in that manner and your civil rights have been violated, then you can go after them because the government has provided for citizens who are being injured by people acting outside of their area of responsibility. You can go after them personally in some cases and tap into their bank accounts personally, seize their funds, their assets. And you don't have to go through court to do it. That's the beauty of it.
I don't know how you do it without going through court.
Well, that's what they have figured out. It's in the law. So this is the amazing thing. You end up putting liens on the people who have caused the damage. Now, you've got to be right. You can't file false claims,
right?
You know, and you have to offer the evidence and document it. And you do submit it to a court, and they have 90 days to, contest it. But if they don't, then it's a done deal. If they do contest it, you have the opportunity to show where you have the evidence to substantiate the claims. But you don't have to go into court to do it.
With that being said, and so that definitely is a different angle to it, I was thinking, well, and you know, Charlie and I and Terry filed our suit against Congress. I think we ought to put a lien on the Capitol building and on the White House because they owe each one of us over $50,000 because we are on the hook for over $50,000 because of their reckless use of our money.
Well, let me tell you something, Sally. One complaint filled in with the average number of penalties against somebody who has violated their oath could be as high as $350 million. Because each complaint has a value established by the government. And like each offense, I think, is around $10,000.
Oh, Arnie, I think you need to make a correction there.
Okay.
Is that it's easy to get 35 counts whenever there's any court case involved. A $10,000 per count equals $350,000 per count. It's not $350 million.
All right.
But if you have party injured per public official, and of course you always got more than one public official. And you see, the nice thing about this, if people were willing to sign their name on a dotted line or go after, I've even got it worked up where one could do it proxy on behalf of all the citizens of the state or of a district, you know, several states, and so that each citizen is injured pursuant, and it can mount up into the billions of dollars, and the monies have to go back to the public, a tax rebate.
Okay, well, let me put an idea out there. Just, and this is for everybody out there listening, this Gang of Eight, the Gang of the Thug of Eight, whatever you want to call it, Gang of Thugs of Eight, whatever, especially people here in Florida, let's all go put a lien against Marco Rubio right now and put a lien against every single one of these. But, I mean, for Florida, have everybody in Florida who's opposed to what Rubio is doing, put a lien against him and then do it for every one of these Gang of Eights, whatever that home state is or whatever. Let's all put a bunch of liens against every single one of them on the Gang of Eight.
Well, now you have to, you know, if you'll tune in on Wednesday, you know, I'm going to walk or attempt to walk people through the process of the basics of it so that each person can gain somewhat of an understanding. But this is a two-edged sword, and so people have to be, well, if you're not willing to tell the truth and support it with facts, and you don't get involved in it.
That's right. The truth will set you free.
Affidavit. You know, if I find out anybody, I won't work with anybody if I find out you're not willing to tell the truth. Now, this is, see, our public officials are lying left and right. Well, we don't, you know, two people lying doesn't make, you know, another wrong doesn't make a right. So you have to do things positive, and it has to be truthful and by the law and the Constitution. Now, this situation here, to back it up, the Civil Rights Act of 1866 declares that the district courts of the United States should have cognizance of all crimes and offenses committed against the provision of this act. That's Civil Rights Act 1866. And it also says that that the district attorneys, marshals, and deputy marshals of the United States, et cetera, are required at the expense of the United States to initiate proceedings against all and every person who shall violate the provisions of this act and cause him or them to be arrested and imprisoned or bailed as a case may be. That's the foundation of the reason we don't have to spend money to do this as far as going to court and fight it. In other words, it specifically states here in the Civil Rights Act of 1866, the government, they're required at the expense of the United States. The thing of it is, they won't do it against their own selves, but that throws it back into our hand to deal with by commercial law, which is contract law. And when they don't answer the affidavits, they acquiesce to it, and they agree to all the charges.
So we turn the game that they play on us against them.
Perfect. I love it.
But
now, when is this? You're saying the show is Wednesday, and now what time is that?
It'll be 5 o'clock your time. No, 8 o'clock your time. It'll be 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
Okay. And how do we listen to this?
I think I sent you the link.
Oh, okay. I was going to post it out in the chat room for other people to see it.
Yeah, well.
I'll see. Okay.
Okay.
And they need to go in there and print off the template on the criminal complaint so they can have them pencil paper and follow along on it, because once you can be walked through of how it's done, then that'll help you understand a lot better and give you some food for thought. So that's what we're attempting to do here to begin with, is to help people get a grasp of the simplicity of this and how it can work in their benefit. And in the details, we'll handle that at later dates.
But there is some complex activities on collecting and things of that nature. So it's, you know, we don't want to misrepresent it as being, you know, a simple thing, but it's doable, and it does take some perseverance, and it does take being honest, and it does take being willing to sign affidavits, things of that nature. And
I went out and I got the link off of the email you sent me. It's Blog Talk Radio, Friends of Liberty, and it's Interview with Randy Due.
Right.
Just for those listening, and I did put the link out there in the chat room for those that are online.
Okay.
That's good. Now let's see. Let's get on to again, as we stand today, and I'm talking strictly when you look out there today and you see what has happened to this country. While there's many of us that are definitely patriots and believe totally in this Constitution and what the rights that we have, yet this invasion, and I mean, I truly do believe we have been invaded, and it's been at the hands of these people in public office, the treason. If it's not treason, I don't know what is, but what they have done.
It's insurrection and rebellion. You go at it from that angle first. That's easier to deal with and bring upon them. See,
right.
Anybody's convicted of insurrection, rebellion, can't hold public office. And here, the insurrection, rebellion, let me pull that up. That's Title 18, Section, let me see here.
But you know,
2383,
Sally,
let me look for sure.
Sally, this it still
yes.
comes back to the people have to organize in their local communities and
That's
their
right.
counties and begin to act in concert, not to be afraid of these guys, but you know, you've got to stick together and stand up together and confront them.
Well,
now,
and
do it in a polite way. You know, we had groups in Georgia that went into their county offices and began investigating the paperwork and found all kinds of irregularities. And the last time I was aware of it, three commissioners stepped down or were removed or confronted with the grand jury. I'm not sure I heard the outcome. There was like $24 million dispersed to some name that nobody could identify. Things like that.
Yeah,
Section 2383, that's rebellion or insurrection. It states whoever incites, sets on foot, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection, now here's the key to it, against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof. Well, the authority of the United States is the Constitution. Or gives aid or comfort thereto, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. That is easier to stick them with than going after them for treason.
Definitely. I would definitely agree with that. And that's excellent to know. I mean, and what I was starting to say to you, Arnie, a minute ago is like, anybody that knows me, and Arnie, well, you and I haven't met face-to-face. We've had many discussions and a lot of email communication. You know, if I could get some people together, I've told people, you tell me, and I have attempted to get people together to be engaged and work together to make a difference, but it is so hard to do. But, I mean, you know that I'm going to be there. They're not going to stop me. I'm willing to stand up to these idiots that are in public office, these scumbags, as I refer to them. But, you know, here in Central Florida, in Florida in general, you have a lot of transient people coming and going and live here for a few years, live someplace else, whatever, and they don't seem to ever get engaged in what's going on. Even though they're Americans, they don't seem to get engaged. And time again, people will sit on the sidelines and they'll complain about this being wrong and that being wrong, you know, and they're mad about it, but they won't get off the couch and do something. And this,
right.
This is why I say, do the American people have the will to defend this Constitution?
Well, that's up to them, isn't it? The trouble
well,
is.
Well, it is, and unfortunately, you and I are at the mercy of them to a certain degree, too. I mean,
right.
I'm willing to defend this Constitution, but I can't do it alone.
That's the thing. They drag us along with it, but at the same time, only about 3% of the people were involved in the revolution of 1776, so they drugged the rest of them along. By the way, Randy has something to add. Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying, Sally. I've been down that road and got frustrated about it, but about people not standing up. But I believe that if those of us who understand this would learn to have a little more patience and understand it's a real problem, is that we're not dealing against flesh and blood, but we're dealing against higher powers and principalities, namely Satan, the devil, and his gurus that have deceived these people. Now, most of these people, they just like the veterans of foreign wars, they'll go to the post and they'll drink beer and whatever and complain about stuff. Well, the reason is they don't have an answer to solve the problem the same way with everybody else. If we can provide people an answer and bring it forth, they'll all fall on the bandwagon, jump on the bandwagon. That's just because most people are sheep. They want to be involved with the winning team. Well, all across the United States, we got patriots that are screaming and hollering and complaining about how bad it is, but nobody's got any enforcement. Well, this process brings enforcement.
And the government
does it very handily.
And the government pays for it. That's, you know, all of these cases, what, there's been 200 cases against Obama, and the people have made, they were civil cases, and so the people are paying for it. Well, we're falling victims to their system to bleed us dry out of money and resources so they can take control of us easier.
Yeah, because people would understand these civil rights laws and the Civil Rights Act of 1866. You know, it specifically states the government is at the expense of the government. But because people don't know that, they haven't done their research, they get snookered into the deal of, well, you know, you go in and you want to take a court case in, and they'll say, well, you got to pay a filing fee, or we're not going to do anything, you know. Well, guess what? Title 18, Section 872 states, let me pull it up here, 872 and 1951, have to do with extortion. 872 is extortion by officers or employees of the United States under color or pretense of office or employment, commits or attempts an act of extortion, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. Now let's drop down.
I dropped out a second here.
Okay. Well, while he gets back on, let me just tell you one thing. We've got damn mad Granny Taft out there in that chat room, and she says, I made it to my Huron and Arnie.
You know, did we lose somebody?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You didn't hear the last minute and a half.
Okay,
or 2 minutes.
Okay, let me back up. Okay, we go to Title 18, Section 872. Okay. Title 18, Section 872 is extortion by officers or employees of the United States. Whoever, being an officer or employee of the United States or any department or agency thereof, or representing himself to be or assuming to act as such, under color or pretense of office or employment, commits or attempts an act of extortion shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. Now, let's go down and figure out what the criminal laws state about the extortion part of it. Okay, that's in Title 18, Section 1951, which is the subject matter's interference with commerce by threats or violence. You go down to B2, it says the term extortion, it explains it, means the obtaining of property from another with his consent, induced by wrongful use of actual or threatened force, violence or fear, or under color of official right.
How about that, Sally?
Wow, that is powerful stuff.
Now, Sally, you can, if you, there's a website I've got up. It's called civilrightsfreedom.com. Civilrightsfreedom.com. It's all one word. And you go to the left-hand tab menu and go down a couple tabs and you'll find the tab that says Laws to Learn. I've got all this stuff stashed in that. You can click on it, open it up, print them off, and it's got piles and piles of this stuff in there.
Wow. Okay, I just posted that link in the chat room, too, and I just clicked on it. It's like, oh, my goodness, yes. This looks great.
The first tab in there, the first tab that everybody needs to pull up is a uniform bonding code. That's about 40 pages long. That will explain to you what you can do, why this process works, and then you drop down a tab or two, you find the Laws to Learn, and it's got the Title 18 criminal laws, the 42 USC, the civil rights laws, the some Title 15 laws, several different ones that pertain to supporting this process.
Excellent. I will definitely make sure I pass this all the way out there. I'll be sending this to a lot of people. This is excellent. Because I mean, Arnie, you know, and just like all of us here, so frustrated with what this country has become. And I, you know, plenty of times I've called us we the sheeple. And it's truly the people's fault. We get the government we deserve. But we've been so brainwashed over the years. There's been such the common core mentality and these other things. It's like, do we have enough true, strong Americans willing to defend liberty? And the beauty is, like you said, that critical mass, the small majority that can make such a difference because so many people are sheeple. They truly are. Somebody explained it to me a while back about the movie theater, you know, the fire in the movie theater.
Right.
And what it truly means is about the 80, 10, and 10%. There's going to be 10% who get up and lead the crowd, 80% will follow, 10% will stay there determined to be whatever and get killed and die in the fire because they're too stupid to move.
or put out the fire.
Well, the 10% that stay behind.
I might make mention of something that I have observed that maybe will be of some help to you. Is I've observed that generally, at least I was this way to begin with, and I think most people have this problem, is that we get frustrated feeling nobody else willing to stand up. Well, but the mistake we make is we fail to realize how to turn that to our advantage. Now, what I mean by that is when we understand that principle, that very few people are willing to stand up, and we can learn to understand that most all public officials are really cowards. And none of them want to stand. None. I haven't found one yet that was willing to sign a name on a dotted line and back up her stuff. So when you understand that, it's a great advantage that you can use against them, because when you start using this process, you got them cornered. I mean, they'll scatter like flies.
Well, that's the truth.
And so two irate citizens or people to band together so that, you see, if you band together and you help each other out, so if one of you gets thrown in jail, the other can file criminal charges proxy on behalf of the other and get them out of jail. If you just fight it yourself, you're at the mercy, you know, they'll trample all over you. But when you work together as a group, learn this process, you can clean your clocks.
Okay, we have another caller who wants to ask a question or something. It's a number I'm not familiar with here, so I'm going to have to see who this is. The last four digits are 6842. 6842. Caller, you are on the line. Can I get your name, please?
Yeah, Sally. It's Terry Martin back in Gainesville, Florida. How are you?
Oh, Terry. Hey, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
Doing well. I've been sitting here listening to the conversation going on. And one of the things that I think, you know, all the laws and stuff are great. And the call, you know, the topics are you do have to band together. But we also have to understand the Constitution protects both sides of this. And if you've got something going against, whether it be a public official, you've got to bring a burden of proof. And any information that you have has to be obtained based on, you know, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. And, you know, we all have rights to public records. And, you know, we don't like a lot of this, what's going on inside, you know, whether it be our local government, state, or federal. But it's the majority of it is in the open, and some of the stuff is there because we really don't need to hear it until it becomes law. But we have to have the opportunity to review it as law. And some of the other things that people are talking about is nobody's getting involved. Well, you know, you're absolutely correct. I've just got some information today. When you have 11 states right now where there's more people on welfare than people are working inside the states, that's a problem. When you have more people that aren't showing up to vote, that's a problem. And that's very evident within our last election. So, you know, do I believe our Constitution is lost? And my comment is absolutely. I believe we're at a point of no return simply because we have a populace that doesn't care. And the majority of the populace doesn't understand what our Constitution is. Rather, I will ask this question, is how many people have ever actually gone in and read any part of the Constitution? And therein lies the problem.
Well, Arnie?
Yeah, but when you can understand that, you can use it to your advantage.
Also,
that's what most people are missing.
Also, hang on a minute, Randy. The Constitution actually is designed to restrain the government, not the people. So the Constitution are rules that the people have imposed upon the government. What we have here is a government that is no longer following the rules. They no longer honor their rules, their oaths. They are totally in dishonor, and they are considered de facto. In fact, they've been de facto since 1865. And if you look at it that way, everything that has been legislated since 1865 essentially is null and void.
Well,
so you can throw the whole thing out. There is no NDAA for the citizens of America. The regulations that they are promulgating now are for the people who are controlled by the corporation in Washington, D.C., 10 square miles. It includes the Virgin Islands, the other protectorates, government employees when they're on the clock, and the government buildings and facilities, armories, whatever, within the states. But that's it. But it's the imposition of the fear and intimidation by them contending that they have this power, which they don't have the power over us lawfully, but they may have it if your local police department is joining them in these little escapades.
And there, I think, is, again, it all comes down to, do the American people have the will to stand up and defend liberty? I can't remember the exact quote, but there's that quote about God only grants liberty to those willing to defend it. And right now I see, because we've had this massive invasion of the illegals and the legals who hate America, how we have so thin down the core values of this country, that even those who truly believe, there's plenty of Christians that are scared to actually speak their mind to say what they believe in. The tyrannical government has taken over, and thank God it only takes that small critical mass to make a difference if we can get that critical mass together. But right now, it's the other critical mass, the anti-American haters, including those in Washington, D.C., including those in Tallahassee, Florida, who keep pulling the chains and putting the fear in these people, putting the fear in the sheeple. And I just get, when people tell me or say, well, what are you doing all this for? Aren't you scared about this and whatever else? And I say, you know, live free or die. That's what this country's supposed to be about, live free or die. If you're not going to stand for anything, then what are you anyway?
So, fellas, one of the things I found out, and I sit on a board here in Alachua County, and majority of people are ready to go along with whatever rule that, let's say, our local government has made. And when I question it and I get gavels down, you know what gets me is one of the things I found out is every once in a while you got to lead by intimidation and you have to bring up common sense. And the majority of people don't want to argue. And I found out that if I can go into whether it be a commission hall or one of the boards, and I bring up, you know, almost to the point of leading by intimidation, that I can win a battle. But most people aren't willing to put their butt on the line to win a battle. And that's why, like I said, you know, earlier, I believe the majority of the people in this country are not willing to stand up. And they're willing to follow whatever it is they have to do so they don't have to extend themselves further than what they normally do during their regular core business. And that's, I see that, and it's reflective of this right now. Sally, you know, it's like, I read your emails, and I had to touch on this tonight, but how many people actually are willing to sit and take the time and discuss this amongst people across the United States? And right now, I could say less than 3%.
You don't need
maybe
more than 3%.
Do what?
You don't need any more than 3%. I mean, you go back to the Revolutionary War, it was 3% that stood up, and the rest of them just followed along. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to, you know, if you had everybody standing up, there'd be all kind of arguing. You know, most made that way. Naturally, that's the law of nature. You only got a few leaders. The rest of them are just sheeple. Well, let's use that to our advantage. Pursuant to Title 18.4, every citizen is required to report when they observe any felony offense being committed against the United States, which means when they observe any public official violate their oath or violate the Constitution. So then we go into Title 18.3, makes anybody an accessory after the fact for aiding and abetting or covering up that felony offense. Well, guess what? Because of that, you always got several politicians that'll be involved as the principals, and then you got certain public that'll become involved, or generally it expands out from, like you say, you start off with a judge or a mayor, and it goes to the council members, then it goes to the county clerk or the commissioners, and then you got several individuals, you know, citizens will become involved in covering up because of their vested interest. Well, guess what? When you bring these criminal charges against them and then place these public consensual commercial liens against them and enter that into the title insurance companies and it locks down their assets, pretty soon they all scatter to the wind. They don't want no part of it.
Well, the whole point is when this starts to happen, and it doesn't take many people to initiate these actions, and we see a few of these officials get strung out to dry, I think it's going to spread like wildfire, and suddenly the officials will become aware of the fact that they're not as cocky and as immune as they might think they were, which is why we're starting with lower level officials first.
And Terry, please hold on. Lower level officials,
they have to face their neighbors in the local towns.
Yeah.
You know, you can deal with it at the local level. Generally, your local level officials also have business as well. If people learn that they're crooks and stop doing business with them, how long are they going to stay in business?
Well, I could tell you some stories about here in Orange County, but before we go there, we do have one other caller. Terry, please stay on because this is a good conversation. At least I'm enjoying the conversation. I hope you guys are.
Oh,
so, and I'm pretty sure this other call is Nathan. I'm sorry. What's that, Arnie?
I just sent you an email with a link and a password. And if you want to see how a citizen can shape up the commissioners, the board of commissioners in his county, you look at this video. This is a protected video, but I think it's so important. I think people should see this is how a citizen went in there and straightened out this whole county. One person did it. And you see how he treats the county commissioners. I think people will understand what needs to be done.
Well, we got Nathan who has called in here, and Nathan, hold on 1 second. I just got to throw one comment in, and just so you guys know, because you obviously aren't here in Orange County with me. I have definitely been to my fair share of commission meetings, and also the local Orange County Expressway Culture of Corruption Authority, and I was at one of those meetings where they almost hauled me off. So I asked for 5 minutes. Their standard time that they allowed a citizen peasant, was 3 minutes to speak. I made requests 2 weeks in advance for 5 minutes, two extra minutes. They would not give it to me. It was because the mayor of Orange County, Teresa Jacobs, is a blah, 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 would not give me two extra minutes. And then when I continued to talk, they almost hauled me off. So that's what happened to me trying to do that. But Nathan has called in. Nathan, go ahead and let me know what you're thinking.
Yes, first I want to say thank you, Terry Martinback, for your service, and I'm glad to see you're still involved in taking America back. I want to say what you guys are talking about is, you know, you cannot change what you will tolerate, and that's why we're where we're at. And a part of that is if you study talk radio, all these big names, they are moving people to the left. All talk radio is therapy. You get mad, you call in, you talk about what they're talking about doing, and 6 months later you call in and you talk about what they just did and how it appalls you. They work. The two parties are the same. But anyway, what I mainly called in, I don't want to get you off subject, but I just want to remind you, Sally, I wrote the Expressway Authority, and they sent me back a letter telling me that the governor is the one that appoints the board members. So I sent him a letter and a copy of your Thursday night show to you. And if you would, give out his information to anybody who would nominate you. And all I got to say is we need to feed you some gunpowder and turn you loose, and you could fix it.
Well, thank you so much for that. That was great, Nathan. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And, you know, I thought afterwards, I should have told people that technically it is the governor who appoints people to the board, but it's all the board members who tell them who they want. You know, it's this game that they got going.
Well, but copy and paste it and put it in your chat room and send it out to your email list. Send it to me, and I got it. I'll forward it on to others. But they need to I just sent it to you just a minute ago. So, but I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan.
Sally?
Yes.
That this video I just sent you is about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it demonstrates exactly what needs to be done to get your commissioners back in place as your employees. And you know, by the way, Sally, the mayor works for you. Who the hell is she to allocate you less time than what you want? By what authority does she set the time limits?
It's a violation of First Amendment rights, freedom of speech.
Now, not only that, but I have advocated to demonstrate to our elected officials just where they are on the food chain. We should be holding citizen meetings in the council chambers when the official meetings are not in place. We own the city hall. We own the county buildings. We pay all the electricity. We pay for all the supplies. We pay all the salaries. Who the hell are they to tell us anything? Now, when
and
you
again,
see,
I can't stress enough that, I mean, here, I sent in a written request 2 weeks before this. They would not respond to my written request.
Hey,
and just saying, I just requested a couple extra minutes. And when I continued to talk beyond that 3 minute, I had two officers on both sides of me. Then one of the board members said, let her go ahead and finish what she was saying. And one thing led to another. And then I finally was allowed a couple of extra minutes. But, I mean, that's the to-do. That's how little respect that these public servants have for the people that they represent. They're supposed to
tolerate that?
Well, I really didn't have a whole lot of choice. I kept talking. And like I said, I had two officers standing next to me.
Sure,
you
had a choice if you understood the laws. Study these laws to learn. I told you about.
That's in violation of your civil rights. They have
check out Title 18, Section 241 and 242. Direct violation of your civil rights.
I'll tell you, we just need to haul these guys in a few and hang them up, and I think things will change dramatically, which is why we're working in this effort.
Well, so I may have put in here also is, and I've got to get back to work here because I'm self-employed, and it's 7 days a week for us, but I would encourage you to get out there amongst your peers. There are vacancies on voluntary boards within your city and your county, and you need to start putting people on those boards to start making effective changes within your county. Because until we get people in there willing to give up their time and their effort to start making the change, and it doesn't, I mean, it's not always at the ballot box, it's at these boards where they can start influencing people, which will influence the commissioners and the senators and blah, 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 and down the line. So, get involved in your community. And a volunteer point, put some time, attend a commission meeting. If you really believe in the Constitution, then it's nothing more than going out there, recruiting the right people who can make a difference within our community. And it's time for people to get off their butts and get involved. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but, you know, there's more to life than just working your job and coming home and doing your family. We have a country here. And we've got a future for our people, and that's what we need to be doing.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. It's good to hear from you again, and please tune in more often and call in more often.
All right. Thanks, Seth.
Yeah. And if you get a chance, call back in. Well, yes. Yeah, and it's so true. It's if you don't stand for anything, and again, that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, when people say, why are you doing all this? Aren't you scared? Aren't you, what, you know, this and that? I said, if you don't stand for anything, then what good are you? I'm sorry if you don't have any principles.
Better put, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything.
Well, that's true.
That's
you don't
good
stand
one.
For anything. You that is so true. And I'll tell you, and before this year is out, you know, I keep hoping I'm going to be able to do it any month now, but because the process is so slow, when I come back and get to tell you guys this story, the true life story of what I've been going through since my father passed away in October, and how I've seen what happens with this system. And there were those people that I know are decent, moral, good people. When I took the time to challenge the process, challenge what was happening because I knew what was happening was wrong, it was illegal, but it also meant it was going to be a major PIA for me to do anything about it. And they just said, why are you going to do this? And they would even be trying to, I'll say, counsel me, if you want to call it that, to say, you know, just forget it, move on, get past it, da-da-da-da-da. What they did is wrong, you know, that's fine. And I said, but I can't do that. For me, I feel slimy if I stand there and watch a crime happening and do nothing about it.
Well,
but
it's
too many Americans
the law.
Are willing to do that.
It's against the law, Sally.
But I'm telling you, even though it's against the law, you as that citizen who's out there doing what you're supposed to do as a responsible member of your community and your country. The fact of the matter is the people of government don't want to do anything. And I'm telling you, there's so much I want to tell you right now, but I'm not going to say any more because you just won't believe the crap at both local and state levels of what has happened here. It just and that's what I said, there is no rule of law.
Well,
I can tell you firsthand there is no rule of law.
File the charges against them that this system will provide you and be compensated.
Yeah. Well, just like I said, there's still things in process right now. And,
yep.
I mean, I have had to crack the whip so many times to try to get them to do what they're supposed to do.
I'll bet you that this could greatly enhance your power.
And the other aspect of it, and the other that's equally disgusting, which is included in my hit list for tonight, when you go, and the situation that I was facing, or have been facing, impacts so many people across this whole country, and of course this would be a state issue, but it's a thing that happens in other states too, and how many people here in Florida have been the victims of it, and yet when you go to the local media, they don't want to bother, because you know what, they're not going to go against their friends in public office. Their friends in public office is who their loyalty is to. The media is nothing but a bunch of crap in it too, and that's because I'm telling you, this whole, my situation would be totally resolved if I had a media that actually reported the problems to the people. If the media actually did its job and was not part of the government, which is what it is today.
Well, that
why waste your time worrying about it? I mean, forget it then and do something that's productive.
Let the government pay to prosecute the people who have wronged you.
Well, like I said, I don't want to go into too much more detail until I can really tell everybody the whole story.
Yeah, sure.
You'll believe it, but you won't believe it. You'll believe it because unfortunately it's going to be the truth. But there's this, just like I said about this Constitution, the Constitution technically isn't shredded, but in a very philosophical sense, it is shredded because the people that are sworn to uphold it have absolutely no respect for it. They have absolutely no respect for the people of this country. And that's when it's like, you know, this is the part that is just so totally, totally disgusting. It's like, Americans, would you get off the stinking couch, turn off the stupid football game here in Florida? They don't have money for roads, but they've got money to build. They're refurbishing a stupid old football stadium, the Citrus Bowl, which is a piece of crap. Orlando is not a football, is not a sports town. We've got Mickey Mouse here. We don't need stupid sports, but they're spending billions on that. They want to spend billions on Major League Soccer that's been a failure in Miami and Tampa, and then they want to build a stupid pedestrian bridge for Universal Studios, who's also a billion-dollar company, but yet they can't afford to give us a sinking lane on I-4. This is the evilness and the crap of this government. And, you know, if you had a media right here in Orlando, if we truly had media, this crap with this toll road stuff would have been shot down. They would never got it because the people don't like it. And if the media would do a little bit of nudging out there, reporting the facts and showing people that there's a way to do something. Unfortunately, I'm not Donald Trump, and I can't put billboards out all over the place. But I reach the message as much as I can.
The key is don't fight things that there's no point fighting. The media is controlled globally. The whole world is the whole world media system is pretty much under control of a small handful of people, six companies, and they all do the bidding that's going to perpetuate the system. So unless people are willing to take the media apart at their local level, like going to the sponsors and say, if you advertise in this media source, we will boycott your business. And unless enough people did that, through enough of the sponsors, that could crush the media. But even then, because of the value the media is to those who perpetuate this system, I honestly believe they would pay to keep the media going, even if they were losing more money than I think they are now, because it's how they maintain control. It's the illusion.
Well,
it's the Truman Show. You ever see the Truman Show?
I can't say as I recall.
Jim,
I don't know.
Jim Carrey, go look on YouTube, The Truman Show. You'll get an idea of what we're up against.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we do. There is a citizen out there who's been very active in going after the media, and I did get word, I think it was last week or the week before, that she's getting close to being able to really do something to take down one of the some of the affiliate stations. So
yeah, the people,
we'll hope that happens. Yeah.
Well, the people, again, have to act in concert, and it's got to be, you know, the whole area's got to really work at it.
Yep. Well, that's right. It's one person can't do it alone. And just like the system hasn't been corrupted by one party or one individual alone, and it's going to take us, we the people, to do something about it. So, and I'm totally in agreement with that. Well, this is some great information, and we'll want to definitely continue this discussion, but I also wanted to mention this Rubio, Schumer, Rubio Bill of Amnesties is what it really is. And this, again, how is it not treason to let all these people in and invade this country, and then and plus all the garbage? How much have you guys looked at what this amnesty, comprehensive immigration crap all is?
The reason it may not be seen as treason is that these guys are not our representatives. It's kind of an awkward situation. They're the enemy.
They are. They are.
So, I mean, you know, if you declare a war, certain rules of engagement are in effect. But if you don't declare the war, if you don't declare them your enemy, I mean, talk about enemies. We, the people, have been declared enemies of the state in 1933 by Roosevelt. And that's how they keep this executive order thing going.
True. And that's
the thing. Yeah, they declared war on us. That's when they took the gold and silver and put in the fiat money again.
Right. Oh, that's so scary. And then the other thing, this nonsense where the games that Congress is playing because they don't want to have to pay for Obamacare. Obamacare is too expensive for them.
Well, Obamacare was never lawful to begin with. There's a manual on what Congress is supposed to abide by when they create legislation. Clearly, in that manual, and if you go to the scan retina, and it's documented there, about that illegal Obamacare, something like that, it shows that before legislation can even be considered, they have to show where it's constitutional before it's sent to committee. It was never done. So all of this nonsense is all illegal, unlawful, and again, this is not our government. Obamacare is not lawfully in place. Roberts was not lawfully acting when he did what he did. And the only reason they have a power over us is because at the state level, we send money to the feds, and then the feds control the expenses if we behave, if we follow their mandates. So tell me, why the hell do we send money from the states to the Fed for them to blackmail us into following their criminal acts? Got an answer?
Hey, I wish I had an answer, because right now, I mean, isn't that everything to do with transportation and education as two easy ones to see?
Well, but
because,
they give us the money back if we follow their dictates. Now, we're giving them the ability to blackmail us.
Yeah.
Why don't the people go to the state and say, stop sending money to the federal government? Just stop. We don't want to contract with anything. We'll defend ourselves. Do away with all of the agencies. We don't need the FDA. We don't need DHS. Shut them down. There's an idea.
I would, if I could get enough people to go up to Tallahassee to do that, to get in that governor's face, I would do it. And of course, both the houses of House of Representatives and the Senate for the state. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Start with your county. Start finding out where they send money to the state, usually through sales tax or whatever the vehicle is, and stop it. Demand it stopped. Revolt. Do a tax revolt like that in your city council or your county council. Demand that they withdraw that support.
Totally for it. I'm definitely, like I said, I'll be there doing it if I can get some people to help me out. I can't do it alone. That's the key part, getting a few others to stand up for it.
Well, before you do that, you might consider, you know, what Randy and Hartford are working on, because that could gain their attention. When they see they're vulnerable, suddenly you have more influence over them. Let's face it, with the lobbying being what it is, and even at the state level, the average citizen gives, what, $2,500 to a candidate, roughly? And what do the lobbyists give?
Millions, billions,
yeah.
Side deals, everything.
So the only time, the candidates are interested in speaking with you as a constituent is around election time when you vote. Aside from that, they could care less about you, and they're counting on you to forget everything that happened. That's why they
get... know I don't forget.
Yeah, well, that's good. Keep a scorecard.
Well, I mean, you can, just like with, again, with the same Mayor Jacobs, I mean, she's such a scumbag.
Yeah.
It was the primary election in for the presidential primary back in January of 2012, where, you know, everybody said, well, Obama was going to be it, so half of Democrats weren't going to be voting in the presidential primary. And because of Florida having closed primaries, you know, no party affiliates didn't think they were supposed to vote. And then the slimy scumbag group being Teresa Jacobs being the leader of it, go out there and put this crap, a referendum on this primary ballot to empower the county to pick and choose who they want to give tax breaks to.
Yeah.
And they got it passed because they knew it was going to be mostly their friend Republicans who were going to be voting at that time, the inner circle who were going to be voting, who knew what it was and would vote for it. When they totally, between the supervisor of elections and the media and everything else, never really stressed the point to the average citizen, no party affiliate, Democrat, Libertarian, whoever, that you needed to go vote.
Well, anybody believes in the political process through the parties must really be smoking something.
Oh, they're
drinking Kool-Aid. Neither party is legitimate, and they play we the people are played for suckers by all of these guys. Literally, I have not found one representative in government that you could trust. Not one. Even the ones you might look at Rubio. Look for how long he was playing this game until his real colors came out.
Well, now when it comes to Rubio, those who even had half a brain in Florida should have known.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he was running for the Senate back in 2010, and he started playing off this crap about being a Tea Partier, and I'm like, I would fight with these Tea Partiers / Republicans. And I say, go look at his history. He has voted, he has blocked 11 immigration bills. This is what he did as the Speaker of the House. Who do you think he represents? And they still insisted, oh, no, he's the pretty face. He's better than Chris. He's better than somebody else. He's the lesser of the evil, blah, blah, blah. The Republican Party wanted him. The Republican Party controlled Fox News to do it. Well, truly, Fox News was a major, major player in getting Rubio elected. And yet you could not – go look at what he's done. Don't listen to me. Go look at his record. Open your stupid eyes and your brain and figure out what's going on here. They wouldn't listen. They insisted on voting for him. And it's like, duh. It's like, oh, you mean he's an anti-American Latino boy? Yeah.
Do they –
surprise, surprise.
Do they know where Fox is based?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Where is Fox based now?
Well, it's Britain, as far as I know.
Where?
Great Britain.
No. Try Dubai.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's even worse. Okay.
The prince bought Fox.
Okay. No, well,
It's like Islam controls the media now to a great extent, too.
Great. No, I missed that one. I totally missed that one.
Jeez.
But and again, the other, and this is why I've even said, and I shouldn't send plenty of emails to Fox News on this same kind of crap about how slanted they are. And I mean, I've sent stuff to Chris Wallace saying, you know, is this what your father would do? It's like, would your father really do this? And it's like, because I don't think Mike Wallace would. I mean, Mike Wallace wasn't, but they are so hooked, you know, they pretend to be this conservative organization, and they're more conservative than the rest of it, but that doesn't say much.
Well, that's right. It's the Heritage Foundation. I always thought the Heritage Foundation was a great organization. I come to find out it's not, and none of them seem to be. Any of them that are in this for financial gain or financial operations have been controlled or taken control by the corporate entity, and it's all together, and it's all working against we the people. We have no friends out there from what I could tell. That includes even Rush Limbaugh. They all have opted to some degree, and they do it to varying degrees because sometimes they give you a little bit of the truth, which lends credibility and sucks you in, but you don't know when they're telling the truth and when they're not, and that's where it's dangerous. Now, if they're telling you opinion, that's one thing. But when they're reporting things, and I honestly believe that's why they categorize themselves as entertainment and not a news source. But Fox is a news source, and you can't trust them either.
No. I happen to believe a big part of the information from Glenn Beck, and because you can verify a lot of it. So I tend to believe more of what he says, but again, trust but verify kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the one that is kind of playing games with me is the Rand Paul thing. I'm just not sure what to make of Rand Paul. I mean, part of me says he definitely knows the Constitution more than probably anybody else on Capitol Hill these days, and he does tend to lean towards the Constitution more than the others.
He's just a better actor.
But then he does other strange things.
He's just a better actor, Sally.
Yeah, so that part's depressing. I still believe Ron Paul was a believer. He for 30 years he said no to too many times, and you know, but I don't know. It's all very frustrating and it's very depressing. It's just you just gotta wonder.
Well, remember, yeah. The biggest thing their game is psych ops. And they try to psychologically beat us. And so when people get depressed, that's in their favor. So
well,
when they do something, it's up to us to recognize what the game is and push back three times harder. They bring a knife, we bring a gun. They bring a gun, we bring a cannon.
And that's all. I truly love that, and the whole idea sounds good to me. If they don't come back with three cannons for the only one that we have,
well, there's always the possibility.
Yep. Oh,
there's
I was
going
to mention. Speaking of the military, have you heard of the Palm 29 survey?
Which one is that?
It was Palm 29. It was a survey. Palm 29. It was Fort Palm 29. It was a military base that they did a survey, and it was Clinton, I believe, was the one who did it. If you do a search on Palm 29, you'll see stuff on it. This was, and again, I'm pretty sure it was Clinton who did it. It was a survey they were doing on the U.S. military to see how fast the U.S. military would shoot their own people. How much would it take to get the U.S. military to turn it on its own people and shoot its own people?
Yeah, I see. It doesn't surprise me. Look, they've been after doing this for 100 years. You look back how long this has been going on, you'll see at one point in the congressional record, they were talking about peace and the one world government. And the military did plans, strategic plans, on how this would all work. So, you know, it started with the Rockefellers and the Carnegies. Their non-tax endowments, the funds, were used to influence the attitudes of the American people towards communism and to accept the New World Order.
Yeah.
This is in the congressional record. There's a guy named Norman Dodd. He's dead. He was part of the Reese Commission. And Norman Dodd did extensive research and investigations of the non-tax foundations. You find it on YouTube or on the web. And several people interviewed him, and he'll tell you straight out. He interviewed Carnegie's organization and the Rockefellers.
Right.
Rockefeller put up the money to start the Communist Party.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So,
the
communists were invented to be a boogeyman so that we'd have the other side of the coin when the bankers got wars started. The bankers usually end up starting the wars and funding both sides and making money, and then the industrial complex started to build up until they've got to grow a life of their own. They got to have wars to justify keeping a standing army. I mean, you start to look at the big picture, it begins to make sense.
And on that note, we have Miss Texas who's here who wants to join in on this discussion. Hello, Miss Texas.
Hi, my hero. And I misspelled it, but it's heroin. You know,
yes, heroin.
Female version of hero.
Yes.
Hi, Arnie. Hi, the other gentlemen. Y'all are so good, I swear.
It couldn't be Randy's accent you're sucking up to, could it?
And on that note, what is on your mind, Ms. Texas?
Do I sound like a woman that would suck up to somebody's accent?
I know you wouldn't.
I think it goes the other way. Or else.
I was listening to Glenn Beck the other morning, and he had your favorite person on there, Rubio. And they were discussing this non-amnesty bill that they want to put through. And when they got through with the discussion, I missed some of it because I quit listening to it because he was making me mad. But after the conversation was over, Glenn Beck says, and I quote, "I don't know, something must have happened to Rubio. This is not the Rubio that I remember." This is
Rand Paul.
No one Rand Paul.
Okay.
He had Marco Rubio on there, and it was Glenn Beck. And when they got through that discussion, Glenn Beck spoke to his other person he always talks to, that he didn't understand what has happened to Mark Rubio, but something has had to happen. Mark Rubio, the Mark Rubio he knew didn't stand for amnesty, but the one he talked to now does.
Well,
and I to myself, can I call in and give you Sally's number and she'll tell you what's going on with Rubio?
Well, this past week I heard Jeff Flake on his show, and then I also heard Rand Paul a couple days later. And, of course, they were talking about the amnesty thing. So I never heard him talking about Rubio, but
well,
I heard him say
comments.
It
was last week when he was on, and I know it was him because I was getting so mad because he's sitting there with all this crap he was saying. And it was Glenn Beck's show.
Well, and the other thing, just so you know, I have sent plenty of emails to Glenn Beck. In fact, I should forward the one to you. You know how you're always questioning Rubio? You're right, and here's why.
Oh, you're so good. You right, my brain waves got to you.
I did put that out there. And it was in the beginning when the GOP first was putting Rubio out there to some degree. Glenn Beck seemed to be kind of rallying behind him. But you're right, he was taking little by little. He says something just doesn't seem right there. He's been saying that little by little for the last couple months, I guess. Something just doesn't seem right. So then I went ahead and forwarded him, here's what's not right. Here's the facts about Rubio. Rhino Rubio, GOP, the rhino of the GOP establishment, POG, P-O-G establishment. And
right.
So then I did send that. So, but good point. So what else is going on?
Well, the other thing, I took my brother to the VA hospital the other day, and Arnie and the other gentleman there, maybe they can tell me if my way of thinking, I haven't read the article yet, but I picked up this booklet that they had there. Its title of it is Foreign Affairs, and it looks to me like it's a government handout that they keep there for people to read on. And it says Foreign Affairs, and then the next big title, The Tea Party and American Foreign Policy. I looked at that and I said, what in the hell are they trying to do to say about the Tea Party now?
Well, it makes perfect sense when you realize that part of the government activity is generating propaganda.
Well, that's exactly what I said.
They do it at taxpayer expense, and they are pitting one group of society against another. That's why we have hyphenated Americans. Hey, listen, I'm the biggest racist you'll ever meet.
Me too.
I openly admit it. I'm a racist. And my principle is simple. There's one race, the human race. That's it. And I think everybody should be a racist like that.
That's pretty good, Arnie.
But that kind of goes... That kind of goes with Sally's being American.
Right.
Oh, that's absolutely right. I agree 100%. We are all Americans, or we're not. And if you've, it's like the thing about Islam in particular, but it applies to any immigration. You know, it's always been a policy of this country to welcome immigrants, but the legal way. They have to come in properly, and then the design is to assimilate into our society. Doesn't mean they give up their culture, but they become Americans. They speak English, and they abide by our laws, and they don't try to bring their laws to our country, and in particular with Islam, it's Sharia. Sharia is a direct conflict with the Constitution. There's no room for Sharia, and anybody who wants to impose Sharia must have a screw loose if they came here to be an American. Now, if they came from Islam to try to convert America to Sharia, yeah, I can see why they're here, and they're part of the grand plan based upon Islam's desire to have a global caliphate. They want to take over our country, so they insinuate their people in our country to outpopulate our people who believe in the American heritage, and then they claim it's their country. Pretty simple.
Well, we've got two factions wanting to take over America. We got the Mexicans on one side, and we got the Islamists on the other side.
Well, they're actually both on the same side.
Do you think that the Mexicans really know what's going on as far as Islam is concerned? Because
well,
the Mexicans I know don't.
The people at the high level who are orchestrating this, they know full well of what's going on. In fact, there's some things that many people may not know about immigration. It has to do with when you make them citizens, these people become chattel to those to whom we supposedly own everything, or to the people that own everything, supposedly, the British bankers. And so they use more people, more citizens, as collateral to gain more credit. It's complex, and I'm not sure everybody's prepared to understand and believe it. It's like when you're born, your birth certificate is created, actually, the person's, it's hard to explain. The birth certificate is sent to the government, and they use that as collateral and create an account for that individual person. It goes on the bond market, it's monetized, and people actually invest in us as property. And it's much more complicated than that, but we never know about it in our lifetime. And meanwhile, they're using us as collateral.
Yeah.
So the more immigrants that come into the country, the government, which is not our lawful government, is able to use, you know, more of the individuals as collateral and gain more credit from the system. Bizarre. I got to admit, it's bizarre.
Disgusting is more like my term.
Go into those laws to learn on the website civilrightsfreedom.com. I believe I've got it listed in there, the Title 18 law that identifies what a person is, that they are chattel. There's several things in there I think if people would read, they probably wouldn't know what to think about.
Is that directly related to the Sescovy Act of 1866, Randy?
I can't tell you on that. I don't know.
Okay. There's a British Act, 1866, Sescovy, and it has to do with being alive or dead, and it's how they use people as corporate entities, as dead things. And in the corporation world, they can only operate on you as a dead thing. So it's complicated in the law, and that's the reason Randy has got into what he's doing, because it bisteps or bypasses all of those things where people get trapped into it.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to spend some serious time out on that website. That's got some excellent information on there. And thank you for sharing that. I'm going to do my best to tune in on Wednesday as well. I may have to listen to the replay of it because I actually have something scheduled for Wednesday night myself on Blog Talk Radio. But somehow, some way, I'm going to listen to that, and hopefully you can come back on maybe next week and do some more talking to us about it.
You can always contact Randy, you know, as he is available for some specific guidance.
Great. Okay. I will definitely be doing that. Well, I'm telling you, it's just very frustrating. Let me see. What were some of these other key points I was going to mention? Let's see. As I head on my list here. Let's see. Core American values, what they're trying to do to the family. When we were talking about this, and I've said it plenty of times on the show, and I think what you were just saying, Arnie, too, is true. You can't be a Muslim and an American at the same time. They just don't believe in the same thing. The only way you can be a Muslim and American at the same time is if you can be an atheist and believe in God at the same time, because that's about how much sense it makes. So you can't be both. And let's see, America's been for sale for many years, but most Americans have been too busy watching the Super Bowl or the World Series and getting drunk. Some people say the alcohol is a way to distract people. Let's see. America has, yes. Mm-hmm.
One thing is, I don't know that Americans have taken a look at this from this perspective, but if you'll remember back in the old Roman times, they had the gladiators. And you think athletics today is any different? It's to keep people entertained and busy so they don't have time to see what's going on and keep up with these things.
I totally believe it, and I tell you, I can't tell you how many times I have been to some kind of kids, baseball games, pony leagues, and whatever else, this little stuff for the kids that play in at Little League. And the parent is there yelling at this kid and telling the kid he's stupid because he didn't get a home run, he struck out. And I'm like, these sick parents that are all worried about getting their kid to be a pro athlete so they can make lots of money, and then, of course, that's all they do is sit home and watch TV. And every opportunity I get, when I see a bunch of people sitting around watching a game, which entertainment, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. I mean, we all need some entertainment in this crazy world. I just somehow comment. I said, I wonder, for most parents, for every hour that they spend sitting with their child in front of the TV watching a sports game, how many hours do you think they spend with them teaching them about the Constitution or being parents, not surrendering their rights to be parents to the state, which, of course, we know is happening big time now? You know, it's like, So why is it more important to sit there for how many hours on the weekend watching football, yet you'd never talk to your kid about what their rights were, what the Constitution was, or any of that, what history of this country was? And so now, I throw that out there as much as I can, but, you know.
Now, Sally, why should the parents today be any different from what my dad was when I was growing up?
Well, I don't know what your dad was when you were growing up, but I know what my mother was, and she didn't believe in people being lazy and sitting around watching TV.
Oh, he didn't believe in people being lazy either, but he never sat around and talked about the Constitution with us. I mean, you're asking these people to do something that they weren't taught that was supposed to be their job to do in the first place.
Well, I can say my mother did. My mother did talk to us a lot about history and the government and the Constitution. And I remember my mother, she passed away back in 96, but I remember my mother frequently say, there's going to come a time when the government does more for the people than they do for themselves, and that's when the country is going to fall. And because we were talking about the fall of Rome or something to that effect, and I just remember her saying, there'll come a time when the government will do more for the people than they do themselves.
Well, they had a lot of help, Sally. You know, 1902, I think it was the communists established Department of Education in the government. And from that point forward, there's Charlotte Iserby has a 700-page PDF file you can download for yourself. And she was part of the Reagan administration. And she documented the process by which was used to dumb down the education system deliberately.
Yeah, well, the dumbing down of Americans, trust me, I know that's been out there.
Yeah,
that has definitely been successful.
Sure. And then you've got the cultural Marxism. You know, that was done through Columbia University. They established in the education system the fact that the liberal persuasion has infiltrated the education system. And so if anybody wants to get a decent grade, they've got to go along with the liberal point of view, otherwise the teachers, who are mostly liberalized, we're not going to give them satisfactory grades. So more fear, intimidation, and the educational system today, if you look at what's happening with some of these Common Core and the United Nations process, it's Chapter 19 of the Agenda 21 process. It's teaching kids to be citizens of the world, not about sovereignty. They teach consensus.
Let me ask you one thing real quick on that. Because of the role of Jeb Bush, I mean, do you find it interesting, amusing, annoying, ironic, whatever it is, that the Republican Party has always been so much behind the Bush family, even though they're one of the most communistic things out there? And nobody wants to talk about the fact that Jeb Bush is promoting, well, I mean, in his own way, he's out there pushing Common Core, but people don't want to tie that to what it really is. And then, of course, they don't want to go back to the history of Prescott Bush, where he was out there funding Hitler.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of American big business people that were promoting Hitler. So, you know, they've lied to us about so many things. Yeah. I don't know how we understand anything.
This is true. This is true. Well, we are getting down to the last 5 minutes here. Any last words of wisdom that either Randy has to share with us, and Arnie, you too?
Well, Randy, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
I think that's
the truth. That is the truth. Well, thank you so much for the info, Randy, and I'm definitely going to check out your site, and I will definitely listen to your show. I'll try to listen to some of it live, but I may have to play it off the archive off of Blog Talk Radio. And Arnie, any last words from you real quick here?
Well, the only thing, if you'd be kind enough to share with your people, that video I sent you, Kamish, and it's got a password, and I sent it to you. And
okay.
I think that'll be so mind-blowing. Now, the video wasn't done professionally, and the sound isn't all that great, but you'll hear and see parts of it that I think people will be astonished. And if they're not, I would like them to write me or call me and tell me how screwed up I am.
Okay. I'll put a special note about that.
You be sure and send me his phone number so I can call him.
Absolutely. I'd love it. I always publish anything I put out there's got my name, my email, and my phone number with an open invitation to call me at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only thing I warn you is I get equal time.
Don't ask for his opinion if you don't want it. That's the key. Okay, and well, thank you on that, and I definitely will forward that information. And now, Ms. Texas, it's your turn.
Oh, I just, great show. I'm glad I did not miss it. For some reason, I have a problem with that some here lately, but I'm going to be getting over that problem. God bless Texas. God bless Florida. And all these great men who are standing up and fighting in here tonight. Bye.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you on that, and I'm going to read my favorite American's Creed because I still believe in this country, and I'm praying it hasn't fallen, and I'm really still working towards that cause. So anyway, the American's Creed, before we wrap it up here, I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. All enemies. On that note, thank you guys so much. This is an excellent discussion.
Foreign and domestic.
Yeah, foreign and domestic enemies.
In the American's Creed, it says against all enemies.
Okay, I guess that covers it.
Well, yeah. If you want to catch the domestic ones, they're the ones giving us trouble.
First thing you do is just fire Congress, and that'd be a good place to start.
Hey, all for it. I will be there. If anybody wants to go up there and march on that Capitol, I'll be there. I'll take the time off from work. I will be there. I'll quit my job if I have to. I'll be there.
Do it at the local office. Bring the sheriff.
We don't have a sheriff of Ohio here in Orange County, unfortunately, so I'm not real sure how good that'll happen, but I'll try that. Anyway,
right.
We are down to the last few seconds here. Thank you so much again. This has been a great discussion. And please keep tuning in. And thank God we do have some American patriots out there doing something.
Thanks
God
for the invitation.
And God bless America, and good night, everybody. Until next time. Thank you.